and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, that is depressing, Chris. Not, no sooner does a dominatrix picture of me from my old late night show go up on eBay when it sells for how much?
$9.99.
The auction's over?
The auction's
over. I was just barely alerted to it. Oh, loser.
Yeah.
All right.
You can see the picture up at your Facebook page, though.
Can I?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be great for me?
Yeah.
Okay. StephanieMiller.com is the website. You know what? I feel better, though, because I got a bendy.
Return.
My husband,
everybody,
our pal.
David Bender.
This means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
By the way, Chris, he was crazy jealous when he got home last night.
What?
My house husband, because I, when Hal was here yesterday, I referred to him as my road husband, and you as my home husband.
Uh-oh. You know, I go away for 2 weeks, and,
listen.
And I get divorce papers on the radio. I mean, and now she parades me out in front of her new husband. Actually, her old husband. There was never a divorce.
Yeah.
Listen,
this
you,
is
leave
like
the,
Mitt Romney.
You leave the bed cold for a second, and you know what? Mama's moving on.
But it wasn't warm to begin with. Wait a minute. I want to tell people that if they missed out on the dominatrix picture, I can take another one because every night she cleans house in that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
That's true.
So so I'll take one if we need another.
Thank you. Because somebody has a request on the Facebook page already, Chris. What was it? Is it?
Yes. Lucifer says, I apologize in advance if this comes across crude. However, I must ask, is there any way to get a copy and have it laminated?
Oh, heavens. Alrighty, that reminds me of the magical times. You remember when I used to get all the prison letters? Can I get a new picture? The old one is dirty.
Yeah. Signed with a serial number.
This one's all used up. All right. Kids, the website, the Facebook page, both sexy liberal.
Yes.
I've got some drama. I've got some sexy
drama?
Liberal show gossip. Would you like
gossip?
To hear?
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, hurry, get your tickets, because Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Carborough, coming up Saturday, June 4th, Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th, Chicago, June 25th, and Boston, Saturday, July 16th. I'm telling you, tickets flying out the door for all of them. I'm telling you what. Okay, so... Do you want to hear the conspiracy, this little sexy liberal show?
Yes.
You know this is the show that the right wing does not want you to see,
right?
That's right.
They're trying to stop it at every pass.
Yes. Tried to bribe our booker to stop booking it like one show in. They hacked our Twitter and our Facebook page, disabled them.
Yep.
They're scalping tickets for $500. Oh, that was a good conspiracy. We think it's like right-wing groups that want the theaters to look empty. They're buying up blocks of seats and then making it look like we're charging $500 a ticket.
Koch brothers.
That's what I said!
They have the money to do that.
They do.
Okay, so, I can't say what city. But, so, you know, there's these Facebook pages popping up all over the country demanding the show.
Right.
And a lot of areas, there's a really high demand, and there's certain venues that they're, you know, our fans are calling and writing
right.
and whatever. And so, Roland, our booker, has been dealing with one particular theater like this in one particular city in which I can't mention yet. However, there might be quite the scandal. So, anyway, the woman, just being a total biatch. And so so what is going on? Like, I could book this somewhere else. Like, what? And she calls him in tears. So there is a huge fight on our board, and half of the people, the half of the board wants to pay whatever, double the profit to not book this show in here.
Wow.
And the other people, there's no way you can book this in here. And it's because of politics. And she said, and half the board is really aware that this could be really bad publicity. And he's like, well, yes, it really could.
Because we could go public with it.
Right. Well, we could just rent the theater or whatever, you know, but to try to, in America, try to keep a show out because you don't like the politics, it's you know.
That's un-American.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, dear.
I wonder if somebody's getting scared that I might just mention what city it is.
Kel Scandal.
What theater?
You know I love the Mission Impossible theme.
Me too.
But do we self-destruct in 5 seconds?
Yes, yes. Well, not before Carl Frisch comes to save us, for
Yay!
God's sakes. It's
Yay!
Time for Frisch.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
He's so fresh. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. You know, I didn't want to mention Tucumcari, New Mexico, the next venue that you were just talking about.
Which one?
Tucumcari, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Oh, Carl Frisch, you scamp.
Sorry to let the cat out of the bag. And David should know. You know, David Bender, you should know by now that Stephanie's family tree, is in terms of husbands, looks more like a Venn diagram than it does an actual tree.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah.
It's the Book of Mormon is what it is.
It's a little trampy tree. Now, Carl Frisch, let's dive into the right-wing world. Don't be scared. Here we go. Oh, boy. Rush Limbaugh on the...
Might want to consider that one of the real objectives of the regime is to just do away with the concept of home ownership. And you hear them talking very, very, very softly now, but you hear them talking about the advantages of renting. I think there is an attack on the premise of home ownership.
Oh, I didn't even get that memo yet, did you? Carl Frisch, what? It's that right-wing caller that called the other day and said, you people want us all to live in grass huts eventually. And they got us now.
Oh, yeah, that guy was sane.
Yeah. I don't even want you to live in a grass hut. I want you to rent a grass hut.
I hate to break it to Rush, but this has been our plan all along. when we talked so much about wanting to make it easier for people to buy homes, what we really meant was rent.
Yes.
We're really sorry.
Uh-huh.
You know, what Rush is upset about is that perhaps it's making it more difficult to own multiple homes.
Yes.
Exactly.
It's really hard to, it's really hard to have your housekeepers keep track of your homes and where to bring the drugs.
Yes, exactly. Don't you hate that when your housekeeper brings the OxyContin to the wrong house?
Was there something that Obama's done recently that prompted Rush to say this, or did he just pull this straight from his gigantic ass?
Are you looking for logic behind
it? I'm trying to. You know, my mind works in a logical way.
He's saying they're whispering it, Chris.
You know what? He is like a logical eclipse, okay? When he's in front of logic, you can't see it.
Yes. It blocks the sun. He blocks the sun and logic.
And logic.
Mm-hmm.
It's similar to like when he's in front of a rhinoceros.
It's only voices he can hear, Chris. It's only being whispered now.
I see. Okay.
Sean Hannity.
You're saying now that you would not support raising the debt ceiling. Now, we were told today was supposed to be doomsday. We'll have more on this later in the program. But guess what? We survived the first day after having reached our debt limit.
Therefore, we don't need to raise the debt limit.
Sean's not good at math, is he?
Isn't doomsday Saturday?
Yes, it's the rapture Saturday, girl, so none of this matters.
I once saw Sean at a Denny's trying to figure out the tip, and he started crying.
All right, Stuart. Wow. Just when you thought we had reached the intellectual depth. Stuart Varney, Steve Doocy, and Brian Kilmeade.
Oh, God.
We are no longer that job creation machine. And there's lots of reasons for this. Globalization is a part of it. Where are you going to expand? Where are you going to hire people? The answer is you're probably going to look first overseas because that's where the growth is. That's where the dynamism is.
People would say that's where cheaper labor is.
That is also true.
Without unions.
That is also true.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I see.
It's the unions.
So wait a minute. Are they kind of for shipping jobs overseas because there's no unions? Is that basically what the point was there?
Sounded like it.
Yeah, that's what they are. But, whenever I hear Stuart Varney, I think of, an infomercial guy. And I really, to this day, it's been a couple weeks since I coined this term, but whenever we talk about Steve Doocy, all I can hear is, a mom and dad asking their kids to drop a little Doocy in the toilet.
Yeah.
it's a frequent term used in toilet training. Who did a Doocy for mom and daddy?
I find it kind of funny that Steve Doocy and Brian Kilmeade are railing against the unions, yet they are noted union members.
Yes.
Members of AFTRA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rip up your cards, guys.
Yeah.
Not just that, but they're talking about the jobs being sent overseas. There are a lot of places that jobs are being sent overseas, and it's those unions that they don't have. Those six-year-olds in China don't have unions that they can belong to. No, the reason that labor is really cheap in China is not just because there's no unions. It's because you're paying toddlers.
Yes.
Yeah, that's who's making Donald Trump's new suits. Okay. Let's Neil Cavuto on Bin Laden.
I remember about a year or so ago when that commission and its formation were being discussed.
It
was called a death panel. You would trust elected officials who've lost more money than companies will ever find, who have the most inefficient system in Medicare today, whose cost overruns have been legendary, who have not been able to exact the cost concessions they have promised, or even the president has bragged about. You would trust that over any alternative? I would take Osama bin Laden's health plan over that.
Stephanie, where'd you find that old clip of the Muppet Show?
Yeah. I know. I was expecting Miss Piggy to come in and hit him with something.
Hiya! Hiya!
I know. It's hard to take him seriously. And does his whole family talk like that?
Osama bin Laden's health plan?
The hell is he talking about?
I hope he paid the premiums, you know. I hope he was all paid up on life insurance, too. I mean, my God.
It was bad enough when Osama bin Laden was alive with the way that the right wing would use him. Now that he's dead, it's just even worse.
Yeah,
right.
It's nonsensical. All right, Frank Luntz.
What's interesting about Daniels is that his personality, it's much more low-key, it's much more laid-back.
Oh.
This is someone whose slogan could be, you've had 4 years of charisma, why not try competence for a change?
Wow. They're sort of admitting that he's just kind of a bowl of mayonnaise.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read in on my Huffington Post that the 2012 dark horse fan favorite that's going to save the Republican Party is Mitch Daniels, to which I replied, wow. How exciting.
The only way the Mitch Daniels wife story could be better is if she had moved to California to marry Arnold. That's the only, that whole story, leaving the whole family for several years and then coming back.
So that's going to be a campaign issue.
That might be an issue.
Apparently, she went to go live in a hut.
Yes, she rented a hut. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Glenn Beck on the radio.
Schwarzenegger is, the one that he
made.
Yeah, the one he strayed for. Mm-hmm.
He made the maid. Mm-hmm.
May I just say, Arnold, that doesn't make any sense when I see her. I think about touching myself. Right here at the back of my throat. Right here. That little thing that's hanging down. I'm thinking about it.
Mm. That little thing that's hanging down. What is that? What is that exactly, Glenn?
Oh, boy. Wow. That's.
I know what it is. It was nasal drip from a habit that he used to have.
Oh! Bringing up the old coke habit.
Ladies and gentlemen, the old cocaine habit has been thrown into the ring. All right. Carl Frisch, see you next week, honey. Thanks.
Have a good one.
All right. You too. There he goes. Oh, boy. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. I have to, by the way, David Bender, very close to the Kennedy family, so we'll have to do jokes around that and not really about.
We'll circumnavigate.
I could Schwarzenegger bash, can
Absolutely.
I?
Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Elizabeth in Chicago. Hi, Elizabeth.
Hi, how are you?
Hello, good. You're on with David Benda. Go ahead.
Oh, hi, David.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm just calling about the people that you mentioned before who were ripping on unions and yet are in unions.
Yes, yes.
On the television, and it just strikes me, it's kind of like people in Nazi Germany were like, oh, you know, they're taking the Jews, don't worry about you, and then, oh, they're taking the Catholics, next it will be you, why won't it be Chinese television, you know, and just ridiculous.
Right, and there they come for the trade unionists, and you're absolutely right, it's the, you know, and that's everybody goes insane, like, oh, you're making Nazi analogies, it's like, no, we're just talking about, you know, there has been a real, I mean, I have never seen, at least have, you know, in our country, such a concerted attack on unions, Elizabeth. Have you? I mean, this is just state by state.
It's ridiculous. And just all of the safety that has been put into place and the things, I mean, just like you said, I mean, they're toddlers. You know, we don't employ children. You know, the whole reason we have weekends is apparently from unions. I mean,
that's right.
That we have a 5-day work week. I mean, it's just, it is so absurd what people are doing. I mean, just
Yeah.
Makes me sick.
All right. Although if I had kids, I'd make them work. I don't. That's probably. What's the point of them?
My dad made me mow the lawn.
My mom, oh, I had to, listen, I have better stories. It was like working hard labor.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like in a
here
Chinese prison, my Republican family. I used to have to clean out window wells. And it was like, first there was one layer of leaves, and then there was mud, and then there was earthworms, and like potato bugs, and ow! I'm still traumatized.
Locked also, up in lockboard.
And then I had to pull the dandelions out from the cracks in the sidewalk in front of our house. Why?
All right.
I'm working on it in therapy. Don't worry.
Yeah, apparently. Wow.
Real issues here. The dandelion issues. One petal at a time.
Here's something I would read to my kids. Have you heard what has topped the Amazon bestseller list?
Oh, yeah.
It's a go the to sleep. I love this. This is making me phlegmy. I love it so much. America is in the grip of a new literary sensation, a book of profane nursery rhymes designed to tap into the frustration of parents whose children will not nod off at bedtime. It comprises a series of verses that start out soothing but quickly descend into rather more desperate exhortations to slumber. For example, one effort reads, "The eagles who soar through the sky are at rest, and the creatures who crawl, run, and creep. I know you're not thirsty, that's bull. Stop lying. Lie the down, my darling, and sleep." It goes without saying the volume is not designed to be read to children. But see, I would read to them. Because
yeah.
I'm already drunk and swearing by that
right.
hour.
This is a cocktail hour
and
book.
I would be like... The author said initially the audience was me and my wife. It captures the frustration of being in a room with a kid and feeling like you may actually never leave that room again. That you may spend the rest of your life in that dark room trying to get your kid to go to sleep. I just love this. See, that's why I'm not a parent, because I'm easily tricked. Like my little nephew... You know, I remember there was an entire room of adults, and of course, and they were all like begging, because that's why kids don't like desperate adults. They're all like, I want to grab and let me read. And of course, he picks me, because I'm hiding. Like, I don't
yeah.
know. it's always the one person that doesn't like kids
You're
or doesn't like dogs.
Trying to fade into the furniture.
I'm just
they,
like,
they,
yeah. I want Aunt Steffi! I'm like, oh.
Damn it.
I was hiding behind a lamp. And anyway, but then I was in there like half the night, because I'm not a parent, so I don't know there's rules. One more! Because I do all the voices and the, you know,
that, well, that's
the
exactly why they pick you, because
yeah.
you know,
kids
they know
love me. They yeah. cannot get enough of me.
Well, that's because you don't
them.
Follow the rules.
Yeah. I don't suck up to them like other adults do. I don't care.
And
so I do all the funny voices and all that, but then I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, is the rule not 47 stories? Like, it's one more! I'm like, okay.
Each one of the voices in your head reads the story.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah,
exactly.
It's really
kids
helpful.
Kids love schizophrenics. That's
it
what I've
do.
Learned.
Absolutely.
They can do all the voices and the animal noises.
And Steffi and
do
her
double
friends.
Kitty again! Do the dolphin!
Is that itchy? Is that itchy kitty or double?
No,
kitty?
That's a different one.
Okay.
Lawrence and Trenton on Nudie real quick. Hello, Lawrence.
Yeah, well, you've been talking about all the bill that he ran up at Tiffany's.
Nudie. Uh-huh.
Oh, Newt.
Yeah, so we got a new nickname for him, Bling Rich.
It's Bling Rich. Guys, that's a joke. All right, 29 minutes after the hour. What if they held a presidential election and no one came? We'll talk to noted strategist Bendy after the break here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Sorry, but in what universe is
Stephanie Miller
blonde?
Relax, no one's going to be looking at her hair.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, that's just the most awesome tabloid headline I've ever seen in the globe.
Yes.
Bin Laden was gay.
What?
Dead Courier was his lover. Did you ever party in a leather bar in the late 80s with a preppy guy named Tim Osman?
Awesome.
Who liked to wet his lips and bat his eyelashes and he might... You hung out in gay bars in Houston in the 80s?
Yeah, gay leather bars.
This
awesome.
Is not good for the gays. Not good for the gays.
Awesome. We'll get into that later. Yikes. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We have returned to Bender. My house husband is home.
Bendy.
Daddy's home.
I am in the
children. Actually, when we leave for work in the morning, he says to Max and Brent, Mommy, Dad, you're going to work now.
And they hold our lunchbox. It's like Dagwood and Blondie.
Aww.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Conda in Mobile, Alabama. Hey, Conda.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
just wanted to say good morning, hi, and let you know just how crazy they are here. Yesterday, when I was driving home, I saw this guy on the back of his truck. He had a personalized fireman's license plate. And at the top of his, on his window, he was driving a big truck. So in his window, he had the "You Lie" sticker.
Awesome.
So
isn't that something?
I'm thinking to myself, how dumb are you? So
right.
I thought maybe he was an older guy. No, I pull up alongside of him. He's a young guy. Looks down at me, looks down in my car, then winks. I'm thinking, I gave him the finger and thought, you're stupid.
All right. Thank you, Kanta. Yeah, the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the life insurance money was in, don't ask me why. I didn't really get the story. He was in Arizona yesterday at some Tea Party gathering.
Oh. Why? What?
I don't know. Maybe he was doing reconnaissance or something. But he said, there's a lot of really angry, really racist, really stupid people in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, it is frightening. It really is. All right. David Bender, noted political strategist. What if they gave an election and no one came? I love that. A Republican pollster said that. Because they were saying so far, it's more about who's not running than who's running on the Republican side.
You know, when people say, if the election were held today, they've
right.
never, you know, this
right.
is who would win. They've never done an election. Because the election is never held when they ask
yes,
that question.
Yes.
So it is May, a year and a half out, and just let your mind wander back. Do we have mind wandering back music? As we go back, you know, go back.
Mm-hmm.
Remember a year and a half before.
No, that's rapture music.
Well, that too. That's Saturday. That's coming up.
Yeah.
That's looking forward. But
yeah, like any of this will matter.
It doesn't matter at all.
Yes.
Although who will be left to vote is the question. It'll be a great electorate, actually.
Actually, it'd be a good election because all the crazy evangelicals
all
will be gone and we'll be left behind.
You know, we're going to win the special election in upstate New York because it's after the rapture.
I know it.
It's next Tuesday where that Democrat could win in a red
26.
Seat. New
yeah.
York 26,
yeah.
absolutely, where you just were, where you were nearby.
Yes.
Let me just say that a year and a half before the last presidential election, before Barack Obama became the nominee, he was just a blip on the radar. He
right.
was 20 points down. People were going, you know, this is a show candidacy. He has no chance.
Yeah, so they're hiding someone really good.
Well, that's what I think is going to happen. My own view is that we are not looking at the field right now. It's starting to winnow out. That's where Donald Trump went. Trump did exactly what Lawrence O'Donnell said he would do, right?
Yeah.
Lawrence O'Donnell. Do you remember
right.
we sat there in your house watching
yeah.
Lawrence O'Donnell look at the camera and say, NBC, you know the day that he is going to drop out. It is May 16th, the day you announce whether or not you renew Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, exactly.
He said it a month out. He said, what are
yeah.
we going through this charade for?
I know.
And he was right.
I know. It actually reminds me, do you remember Sarah Palin at one point said, well, I'll have to see him. If no one else will do it, then I might have to.
Yeah.
I may have to do it. And even, what's that dopey son-in-law? What's his name?
Levi.
Levi even
Johnson.
He said, since when does no one run? But I was like, she may be right. This year may be she may have to run because no one else is doing it.
The problem is Levi might run, and then the field will fill up. Here's the thing. People are going to get in. We're going to see people like John Huntsman getting in. We're going to see now who have we seen get out? We've seen people who can raise
everybody
a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Haley Barber's out. He had a big Rolodex. He had a lot of money behind him.
He's always been able to raise a lot of money.
He did my personal favorite. You know, somebody says this every year. Somebody every year says, and he says, I lack the fire in the belly necessary to run. And I'm like, if you can't find fire
in that belly.
Enormous belly, I mean, there's a lot of room in there. And if you can't find a campfire
in that belly. I mean, there's plenty of room. People sitting around
for half of Mississippi in that belly.
It's a lovely gallery. You could sing songs in that belly. and
sing Kumbaya.
And they're old Negro spirituals.
That's
actually.
Right.
No,
okay. Tote that barge, lift that bale.
Haley Barber's out. Mike Huckabee is out. Mike Huckabee, found
God didn't want him to.
A higher calling, which is, you know,
Fox News. Yeah.
Absolutely, that is a higher calling.
Yes.
Roger Ailes called and said, this is the voice of God. You will work for me. And now, of course, we've got Trump out. So who's going to get in? We're going to see people like John Huntsman, who will be an attractive candidate.
Isn't he announcing today?
He's pretty and so is his wife.
He could be.
And he always wears scarves that match his blue eyes.
Yeah.
But why did he move his campaign from Utah, where he's from, to Orlando, Florida?
because Orlando, Florida has a lot more votes than Utah.
All right. And it just seems politically convenient.
Here's what happens. They say, you know, I'm reading the AP story. With each I'm not running announcement because the new round of questions about, you know, will Chris Christie be, Jeb Bush be drafted?
Maybe.
Rick Perry? That's the other one.
No, Rick Perry.
He's way out there.
He's like run Texas into a ditch.
I don't think he could come back to the center for the general election after running a far-right campaign.
I love this. Some Republican strategist said whoever emerges has they're just basically anybody. Whoever emerges has a 50-50 shot at being president.
Well, you know, I look at the numbers, and this is a numbers game at the end of it. And you've got people like Jeb Bush who could take Florida off the table. Jeb Bush gets in. Here's where it will be. If the president who right today, and when the election is not being held, seems to be vulnerable by the end of the year, early January, then people who might be taking a pass on this year, like Jeb Bush, like Chris Christie, will start looking at it again. More likely Jeb Bush.
Right.
Jeb Bush and Mitch Daniels carry two states, Florida and Indiana, which went to Obama last time. That's a flip of like 36 electoral votes. That makes it really possible for the president to lose.
Now, Newt Gingrich, is this the first time someone has started the race with their shoelaces tied? Because it's just wow.
Here's the thing about Newt. He actually reminds me of Mitt Romney's father. For those old as I am, and that would be Methuselah, George Romney.
We always appreciated you getting Rutherford Hayes elected. We always thank you for that.
You know, it was a close race.
Yes.
the Hayes-Tilden race.
It was
literally a horse race. It was Rutherford Hayes and Samuel.
It was a horse-drawn election.
Samuel Tilden, you know, and Tilden offered me a lot of money, but I went with Hayes. Here's the thing. Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, ran for president or in the run-up in 1967. It was the election that elected Richard Nixon. Romney, governor of Michigan, was the front-runner. He was supposed to be the fair-haired boy coming in, and then he makes this policy statement on Vietnam, and he says, you know, I was wrong about Vietnam. I was brainwashed by the generals. The propaganda. Yeah. And he announces he had been brainwashed. And it turns out that people don't want to vote for a guy who says he can be brainwashed.
Yeah.
Right.
And he had to drop out early on. This is what this reminds me of. Newt Gingrich saying the things he said now and then completely doing a 180.
Yeah. Oh, here he is again trying to. Yeah. Frankly, I don't know what I was saying. Newt Gingrich yesterday. Yeah. Newt.
Those words were inaccurate and unfortunate, and I'm prepared to stand up. And when I make a mistake, and I'm going to on occasion, I want to stand up and share with the American people that was a mistake.
I love this. Yeah. David Gregory on Newt Gingrich's claim he was set up. He knows that's quite silly.
And this is David Gregory, who is quite silly.
Yes. Yeah. Who I was saying even was trying to be helpful with the right talking point.
It was a supportive question.
Yes.
It wasn't
premium
a gotcha.
Support is a good thing.
Yeah,
that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Don't you think you should stand up the way Paul Ryan is boldly and courageously? Have you seen the spots that the Democrats are now doing in which a Paul Ryan lookalike pushes a woman in a wheelchair, a grandma in a wheelchair, to the edge of a cliff? And then dumps her out of the wheelchair over the cliff. This is death penalty, 2012.
Yeah,
this is what we're going to be seeing. And it's great. Why not?
Yeah.
They did it. This is accurate. This is what they want to do. Kill Medicare.
David Gregory said, I think he knows that's quite silly. When he left the interview, he was on for his 35th time. And he said, I look forward to coming back for number 36. I think he was perfectly fine with the interview. Gregory also said it's strange credulity to believe that Newt's quote was about right-wing's social engineering was merely a spontaneous response and not something that Newt had thought of previously. Yeah, like he wasn't going to be asked about this, right? Joe Scarborough joked that from now on he feels like Wile E. Coyote whenever he's around Gregory, and an anvil might fall on his head since Gregory's so sneaky with his gotcha questions. Not since What Do You Read has there been such a sneaky liberal media question.
David Gregory is the CEO of Acme.
He really is, yes, the Acme questions. And here's the problem with this, is that Newt actually plainly was being very thoughtful because he was playing for the general election. Newt was already thinking ahead. This is something every soundbite I'm going to have now is going to be thrown at me if I'm running in November. So that's what he was thinking about. He just happened to skip over the fact that they are going to kneecap him now by telling the truth.
He's literally, I've never seen in record time, has pissed everyone off.
Yeah.
He's black people with all his racist codes.
Yeah.
And then, the left, gays. By the way, are you pro-glittering or anti-glittering?
I'm kind of with
Chris. He was glitter-bombed.
I'm kind of with Chris on this. I think when you throw anything at anybody, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. I don't.
Hal Sparks
yesterday
was pro-glittering, and I'm not for throwing anything at any. I'm a huge animal rights person, and I'm not for throwing red paint on people.
You just don't throw things because you don't know what it is. And by the way...
And it doesn't change minds. When you do something like that, it doesn't change minds.
Or hearts, for that matter.
Right.
But think about what could happen if there's... and there isn't in this run-up, but when candidates have Secret Service... And you throw something at them, you don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People can get hurt.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because
exactly.
they're responding to that.
Yeah.
So this is not a good idea.
Well, as you know, I am pro unicorns that fart glitter, which I was promised.
You have
Obama.
You actually have.
And I feel I got it.
You have one at your house.
I have a leprechaun that farts gold dust as well. Nick Espinoza, he's the guy who dumped a box of glitter on Newt Gingrich at a campaign event in Minneapolis, says the way the week has gone for Gingrich, I think his campaign needs a makeover. And he said, after all, glitter's a lot of fun. He said the protest he was inviting Gingrich to feel the rainbow was about gay rights. He said, I don't want anyone, much less a serial adulterer, telling anyone who they can and cannot love, which we all agree with, obviously. He said he only used 2 of the 3 bags of glitter he had, but he said, I may have to save that last one for Newt's next wedding.
That was funny.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah,
it is.
I agree that it doesn't help your cause.
People who defend marriage because they love it so much, they do it a lot. Those are my favorite folks. And these people continue, the Newts and the Rushes, and somehow they get away with it. How is that possible? How do they get to be the family values candidate?
Bill Maher just asked that question. Like, how come, John Edwards can never be seen again and Newt Gingrich can? And, you're not defending him. I mean, there's all levels of dirtbaggery. You're like, did Schwarzenegger just do another one? Probably. You're like, how low can the bar go of dirtbaggery?
Well, on the Democratic side, I think we hold our people accountable.
Right.
Republicans don't.
Yeah, but how come Newt? It's like he's running for president.
Matthews, in a rare moment of clarity, actually said the right answer. Democrats shoot their wounded. Republicans elect them.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
what they do. And
exactly.
There it is.
Exactly. And I'm sure Arnold's fielding calls now for his next, 46 minutes after the hour. Back with more of all that. And we return with the Bendy as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Lori in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Moaning, sister friend.
Good morning. I need that Rosetta Stone Palinese software. You guys need to bring that out. Palin and her rant last night on Hannity. I just don't understand. She was on talking about Newt.
She was defending Newt, right? She was saying Newt was people should back off and attacking Newt. Is that what she said?
She was attacking David Gregory, but then she did get in some great digs at Newt. So I don't know what her I don't know what she said. You need to get out the Rosetta Stone Palinese software. I'm trying to figure it out.
There's no figuring out her gobbledygook.
It's just
word salad, and there's no
And real quickly, you know what Hannity reminds me of? My son, when he was 13 and going through puberty, and his voice is changing and screeching, when Hannity gets excited, he reminds me of a 13-year-old boy going through the change.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, it's a little, a little baby Fred Flintstone.
But it'll never happen.
His ginormous head.
He's stuck that way.
Darn right. I say it ain't so, Joe. Doggone it.
Oh, boy. Chris, we'll have to go back and find some old, answers, because it really is stunning. It's really not English exactly.
Well, you know, it's those refrigerator magnets where you just move words around on the refrigerator
sentences? It's like a Scrabble board that has exploded. They're sort of words in some sort of order, but that don't actually really make sense or answer the question.
And you can move them around in any order, and they will still come out, the same.
Yeah. Also, too, in addition.
It's like she's reading, the words in a crossword puzzle, as a sentence.
Like she has some answers, but not that go in a row, really.
12 across. What is
it? All right. Lavender Pitt, the official roller derby queen of the Stephanie Miller Show in Tucson, Arizona. Hello, Lavender.
Morning, Mama. Morning, Luke.
Can I just tell you, you're like a sitcom character. I just love the way you say that exactly the same way every time.
I love that.
You know what? I aim to please.
It makes my day. All right, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking thinking of the Governor Davis recall and how after that every piece of mold slime came crawling out of the woodwork for the election.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of that, and then I'm thinking, here's hoping for 2012. Mary Carey for president.
Yeah, the porn stars have got to be getting into this soon if it's anything like that race. Yeah.
You know what? At least they have integrity to be honest about their profession.
Yeah, exactly. You know, where's my nostalgia music? I have to say, Bendy, you've seen a lot of campaigns. That one, looking back at the Schwarzenegger, that was kind of one of the most entertaining ones ever, wasn't it?
The recall.
The porn star, yeah.
Yeah,
even when Arnold got in, people were like, what? No friggin' what? Terminator?
It was Arnold and Ariana.
Oh, are you setting me up for my old... Yeah. It was the debate that you needed the UN headset for. That one. Arnold, I do not understand why you say environmental unless you drive a Hummer and you don't even sit the carry that Lily is making pharmaceuticals for children. Yada yada! I always have a part for you, man. You tell me that after he moved out here in California. Yeah.
Here's the Eastern Bloc campaign. It was so much fun.
I thought we were going to change our California state slogan to what the...
What are you saying?
Not until Palin came along have you had someone that you're like, and she's born here, and I still don't understand what she's saying.
Headphones would have replaced the bear, you know, as the symbol. There would have been headphones. Let's translate this.
Chris, remember that? That was Ariana's big issue back then, because every time she was on the radio show, she'd bring it up. Stephanie, are you aware that Lily is making pharmaceuticals for children? They don't seem to have any attention on this, and they are making the pharmaceuticals like they are Flintstones vitamins, Stephanie. I was just like,
That's when she was a Republican.
I'm like, okay, good. We've brought that up now. Okay. Who knew she was going to own everything? I certainly wouldn't have mocked her. Now look.
Yeah.
She's the
queen of all media.
Exactly. Now I can't get her on the phone, for God's sakes. See, just for those stupid, the few birthday parties I got booked on as the Ariana impersonator. The kids love it.
They like the Phyllis Schlafly references.
Sure.
Yeah. Who, what, where?
Old political dinosaur lady. What?
What?
Mark in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
I'd like to be the official architect of the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you build it, they will come. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Three quick points. Jeb will never win Florida or the Republicans because of Ryan's Medicare plan. It's all a buzz down here. All the old people are afraid that they're going to get that stripped. Second point, breaking news. Thank you. In Duval County, which is about 1.4 million people, which includes Jacksonville, we elected the first black Democratic mayor in decades.
Mm-hmm.
Again, he beat a teabagger.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
And it's a very, very conservative area, so we're very excited about that.
Awesome. All right.
That's all I got.
Okay, thanks, honey. By the way, the other big story. God. Santorum, Google it. Just when you thought no one could step in it more than Newt, he said this about John McCain. Rick Santorum yesterday. Rick Santorum.
You don't understand how an ants interrogation works. I mean, you break somebody, and after they're broken, they become cooperative.
John McCain doesn't understand how torture works.
No. After five years in Hanoi Hutton,
yes,
he
needs
no
a few
idea.
More years, apparently, to understand as well as Rick Santorum does.
Yeah.
And he so far has refused to apologize,
well,
right?
Well, you saw what John McCain's longtime aide Mark Salter said. In my 20 years in the United States Senate, I never knew a dumber member of the Senate.
Yeah.
Now, this is, again, it's the Peter principle. This is why Rick Santorum, having been overwhelmingly rejected by the voters of Pennsylvania, decides that qualifies him to run for president.
Yeah, of course.
That is, in his mind...
Quitting halfway through your term as Governor Valeska.
It qualifies you for national office.
Running a state into the ground like Rick Perry qualifies you to run for something higher.
Absolutely. Yes. George W. Bush, who couldn't run any business successfully, runs for governor of Texas.
Yes.
That's the Peter principle.
Yeah.
And it works for Republicans.
Yeah.
They do not shoot their wounded. They elect them.
Guess what? It's Jim Ward's birthday.
What?
And Tim in Dallas has collected some of Jim Ward's greatest hits.
Yes.
We're going to play some of the oldies in honor of Jim Ward's birthday. And he'll be in just a couple of moments.
Soon.
The voice team is coming. Everybody, quiet. It's a surprise party. Okay. Everybody down.
Hide behind the couch.
Turn the lights off. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies
ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Jim's not here yet. He's late for his own surprise party. Shh, keep the lights off. Oh, why, look who's here! Why, hey, it's the birthday boy, everybody! Surprise! Happy birthday, Jim Ward.
Shouldn't have mentioned it on the radio. I have one in my car.
Was that on? Was the microphone on when we said that?
He's the magical voice deity has arrived. Happy birthday, honey.
Thank you.
Did you get a birthday spanking from Mrs. Ward this morning yet?
Not yet. That's later.
I may have to fill in. All right. So Tim in Dallas has put together a Jim Ward tribute today for your birthday. Your greatest hits. Oh, this one was number... We've been talking about Caribou Barbie when they allowed guns in Yellowstone.
Right. Oh.
Oh, dear. And here is Sarah Palin.
Oh, golly, you betcha. We're celebrating the exercise of our Second Amendment rights. Also, too, that we're shoring up our economy. Job creating, and the Anna's got to be all about the guns and jobs and the mavericky creating of carcasses. Also and again, also too. Oh, look, there's the Russian bear invading our land space. We got our rights to carry loaded guns just in time. Watch this. Got them right through the heart and lungs, you betcha.
Yogi, I've been shot.
Oh, no. Boo-boo, don't leave me, Boo-boo. I should never have sent you out to that picnic basket.
I'm cold, Yogi.
Oh,
so cold.
No! She killed Boo-Boo!
Oh, that little morsel looked great on the wall of my den, you'll betcha, golly. Right between the spotted owl and the bald eagle.
Not if I have anything to say about it, you murdering harlot!
Oh, there's a big fella. I just better reload you right quick, girl. I'll just be in deep doo-doo, you betcha.
You bitch! I'll turn you into mince meat! I'm gonna smack the lipstick right off that pig! I'm smarter than the average Republican vice presidential candidate. Is that the mavericky enough for you? I'll be making MILF chili tonight. Hey, you betcha.
Oh, there's always a happy ending to a Jim bit. Sure, Boo Boo had to get killed in the making of that bit.
I don't suppose he... kept the one about the little town in Austria where they kept stealing the sign. Oh, he did.
Oh, oh wow. Heavens. Cool. Yes. We'll just someone alert the FCC. Well,
yay.
Yes. All right. Happy birthday, Jim Ward. All right.
That's coincidentally where Arnold is from. He's from that town, you know.
Yes. It's actually spelled the F U.
Yeah, well,
all
yeah,
right.
You'll hear it later.
Mm-hmm. You can email us all at thestephaniemiller.com like Kevin in Rochester did. Steph, he loves the Ustream. I love watching you guys on Ustream. One of the things I like is watching Stephanie work on promos after the show. Yeah, I frequently forget that I'm still on, which is probably why it's a good time to watch. Some of the stuff that comes out of her mouth is great. My favorite so far is, oh, for the love of... Yeah, I don't know. That's not really even a way that people normally use that swear word.
You said that yesterday.
Did I?
Yeah.
That's the part you don't hear on the AM radio.
I forget about the cameras. All right. Oh, could I have my Rapture music, please? As we know, Bendy, you mentioned it's Saturday, the Rapture.
It is.
Good news. Don't have to worry about what I wear for Grand Marshal of Gay Pride in Long Beach on Sunday, which I've been stressing
clothes?
Out
yeah.
over. No,
no,
no matter.
Gone.
Mm-hmm. Kim in Seattle also with some Rapture-related concerns. Steph, a billboard referencing the Rapture says, save the date, May 21st, 2011, so I have a dilemma. My daughter and I have an appointment at 9 a.m. for a lip and eyebrow wax that day. If you know any of end-of-the-world schedulers, could you see if the Rapture could commence after 9:30? I'd hate to go through eternity with a Fu Manchu mustache and Groucho Marx eyebrows. Thanks awfully. Kim in Seattle. I'll see what I can do, Kim.
I'd love to go through eternity that way.
With a Fu Manchu mustache?
And a
Groucho
Marx.
Not a woman from Seattle.
Groucho Marx is the silliest thing I've ever seen. Wait, not a voice deity.
As a bus leaving town in half an hour, I want you to be under it.
Happy birthday, Jim Ward.
All right. Ike in Charleston, South Carolina. And Arnold, these things of this nature. Hi, Ike.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank
and,
you.
Wasn't that a song? I wish I had a Fu Manchu mustache. Just like me. Jimmy Buffett for you folks. But listen, I got a complaint. Everybody's jumping on Arnold. Don't get me wrong. He deserves it.
But well, not as many people as Arnold has jumped on, but you know, ladies and slave havens. Yes.
But in every situation like this, what about this scumbag lady that was doing this all the time in the woman's house?
Oh,
ridiculous,
did you,
man.
Ike, did you hear the latest that they were pregnant at the same time?
Yeah.
They
know,
had the Maria and the this woman were they had the babies almost. Oh God.
Hmm. And speaking for all of us guys out here who don't cheat, that have the rule that listen, if I'm going to cheat on you, you're going to be the second one to find out because I'm going to come home, I'm going to get my stuff, and I'm going to leave. I'm going to be a man about it, and that's the biggest part. We're getting slimed here when these women, these gold diggers, and scumbag women get away with this, yet we take all the heat. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you know what? There was a boss-employee relationship here. That's what makes it different. Arnold was the boss. He was the person
he's
in power.
Scummier. I mean,
he was
like,
the one breaking the law.
He's slimier, you have to admit.
Well,
I agree with you that,
it's like David Vitter in Louisiana, who's still in the House of Representatives. Now straighten out on this one, okay? He was doing it with paid prostitutes. I don't have a problem with that because that's a business. Those women involved in that were in a business. They were there to make money.
He was
but this woman here, she did this straight behind her back, and it was, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe she was just looking for money.
Yeah, I mean, well, she worked for Maria, too. I mean, that's the whole thing is just, ugh, you know. I mean, there was an employer relationship there, too, so it just the whole thing is like, ugh. Hey, can I have my Masterpiece Theater music? Jim, as it turns out, Arnold has always been classy with a K.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's how we spell it in Austria, you know,
it's just nature. someone has sent me the 1977 Wii magazine article where he shared some of
Wii.
This. No, not that kind of
Wii.
No. He spoke freely. Wow, a little too freely, in my opinion. You might have seen this coming, so to speak. He spoke to them in 1977 about orgies, drugs, penis size, and the fag business.
Ah.
The business about the...
too freely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He said, if a girl comes on strong and says, I really dig your body and I want to the out of you, I just decide whether or not I like her. If I do take her home, I try to make sure I get as much out of it as she does. Oh, he sounds like such a sensitive,
giving
lover. Yeah, just a giver, really. Well, this is nice of him, though. Here's the feminist side. As for a partner's physique, Schwarzenegger explained that some extra padding was not a deal breaker. I can look at a chick who's a little out of shape, and if she turns me on, I won't hesitate to date her. If she's a good... she can weigh 150 pounds. I don't care. Yikes!
150
pounds? Do scales go up that high for women? 150? Yikes! Well, that is... she's like Gandhi.
Well, he was thinking kilos. So he's not used to imperial measures yet.
What a... So the latest on that, the revelation of his out-of-wedlock child with a former employee has turned into a tabloid friend. Where is it that the house is? The mob, the media mob descended on the middle of Park, California
Palisades?
Farm country?
Oh, Palisades.
Where?
Palisades.
Oh, really? No, where
country?
This woman lives.
Oh.
Baker, it's near Bakersfield.
Oh.
Yeah, that was nice of him to buy our house in Bakersfield.
Bakersfield. Does it look like a compound in a batabot?
Wow, exactly. Oh, boy.
The batabot.
You're right, that did look like a foreclosure in Bakersfield.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean, million-dollar compound? A photo of the boy posted on the woman's MySpace page. Apparently, he looks like him. He's, you know, but he's someone's called him a brown Schwarzenegger. He looks this is what's sad, though, you know, is that there's kids involved. We were talking about Patrick Schwarzenegger just changed his name to Shriver, and it's just like, oh.
It's easier to spell.
Yeah, but it's just, that's what I mean. It's just, there's this kid, and so the real estate agent said that Schwarzenegger was the buyer of this house, so that was confirmed. The birth certificate for the Bakersfield woman's son shows he was born the same week as Schwarzenegger and Shriver's son, Christopher.
And oddly, he was born in Kenya.
Yes, weirdly enough. Jim, that's incorrect. oh, God. So did you, David, you and I were saying we were watching the Oprah. Did you see the Oprah extravaganza? Now what do you do for her funeral, for God's sakes? It's like having a funeral while you're alive.
This is Tom Sawyer. This is you get to, or Huck Finn, you get to have your funeral in real time.
Yes.
Everybody shows up, pays tribute to you, and you're there.
Yeah.
I mean,
that was the night of like a billion stars.
Yeah.
It's
awake where you're actually awake.
How about that?
A lot of subtlety there.
She's sitting up. She's alive.
Weekend at Oprah's.
Yeah. Amazing, folks.
Yeah. She was, and Maria, oh my God, Maria looked amazing, didn't she?
Yeah.
That's, as they say, the best revenge. She looked, so she did a walk-on And she told the talk show host, "She's you've given me love, support, wisdom." And then there was this big pause, and most of all, the truth. little pointed.
Actually,
unlike some bastards.
I actually heard Randy saying yesterday that apparently Oprah has offered her a job now.
Oprah's
offered Maria a job at her network.
Well, they've been talking for a show.
Maria.
Yeah.
That is the best revenge.
I just hired a girl named Maria.
Meanwhile, is this actually true? He's in negotiations for another Terminator film?
Yeah.
They are going to have to change it to Sperminator. I'm just saying. That was a joke we did for years, and they need to change it to Sperminator. He's also upset to begin filming this summer on Cry Macho, a film drama in which he would play a horse trainer, which is probably perfect, since he's obviously been full of horse for years now. And Maria could confirm that. Yeah, I don't know if those are still in the process of moving forward.
Working title, Cry Macho?
I don't know.
Not so much. Needs a punch-up, I think.
Exactly. All right, Jim, when we come back, I don't know if you've seen the Globe, but Bin Laden was gay, and we'll discuss apparently.
Huh?
Discuss all that as we continue 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie. Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, don't call that. Call 1-800-STEP-12. It's just a joke. Okay. Dean in California. Jan, it's for you. Birthday boy. Hello, Dean. Welcome. Hi, Dean.
Hi. Good morning, Steph. Morning, Moose.
Good morning.
Jim, happy birthday.
Yes.
And I was hoping, it is my birthday tomorrow, and I was hoping to maybe get a birthday song for both of us, sung by alternating verses between Arnold and Christopher Walken.
Oh boy.
What was the first one?
Arnold.
Oh, Arnold and Mr. Wire. Okay. All right.
Sorry, what was your name again? I didn't have my headphones on at the beginning.
I've forgotten, too. I already hung up on him. I'm sorry.
Oh, boy.
Is happy. All right. Well, you know what? We've got recorded Jim bits. We'll just do those. How about that for you? How about Sean Connery nude? Let's do that. Let's do it here. He posed nude, Jim, remember, for a art school when he was much younger.
Right.
And apparently he was quite large.
Do we have those pictures anywhere?
Somebody, I don't know. Somebody said that they dropped their charcoal pencil when they saw it. Mm-hmm.
Oh, at my age, I should have known better. When he approached me to pose nude for this new edition of Hollywood Babylon, I thought it was a chance to display the old cable one more time as a monument to itself. Besides, I wanted to see how the old member compared to my fellow stars. Not the gold member. Different franchise entirely. I confess to a certain satisfaction that Daniel Craig's unit isn't fit to shake the last few drops of, off of mine. Although I will confess to being surprised the Bonesy Nancy boy shoutlifter isn't sporting it any. Then I checked out Schwarzenegger's Schwanz, and it was just as I suspected. A Terminator without an inseminator. As a matter of fact, imagine my joy when I discovered that I was the only one in the book who was going to have a centerfold. But then imagine the crushing blow to my spirit when I found out it was because the only way they could accommodate my great pendulous scrotum. They promised they'd airbrush it out. It's sad when you realize the old bagpipe is all bag and no pipe. It's not that I'm all potatoes and no haggis. Not by a long shot. It's just that gravity has taken its toll on the old Celtic yam sack. It's gotten so bad I've taken the wedding. It's gotten so bad I've actually taken to wearing knickers beneath my kilt. Perish the thought. No sense in dragging my stones of scorn through the brambles. I'll be sure indeed.
Oh, God, it's taken me years to scrub the image in my mind's eye of Sean Connery's pendulous scrotum dragging his yam sack through the brambles. No, it's back! It's back! Oh, no. Now it's going to take another millennium to get that out of my mind.
Turns out you might have been wrong about Arnold.
Yeah, that was a little rewrite on the Arnold thing. Becky in Seattle. Hi, Becky.
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Go ahead.
Hi. Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you.
Can I be the official positive reinforcement animal trainer of the Stephanie Miller Show?
Good girl! Yes!
Awesome! Good, everybody!
Yes.
Oh, cookies for everybody!
Yay!
Yay! All right. I wanted to talk about breaking animal spirits and how much it does not work. Cookies work much better.
Cookies work better. Okay. All right.
Especially peanut butter cookies from Trader Joe's.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on retraining Rick Santorum or no?
Well, he might be a special case, and we might have to use a nasty pinch collar and a few whips on him.
Yes, I think he would like that. He would like that, Senator Man on Dog. All right. Well, Jim, I don't know if you've seen this, but the Globe is Bin Laden was gay, apparently.
And you can believe everything the Globe says.
You know, you can give me either gay or Arabic news. It doesn't really matter. Bin Laden tendencies. Oh,
Arabic.
Obama was gay and partied in leather boy discos.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did you ever party in a leather bar in the late 80s? Oh, well, who didn't? With a preppy guy named Tim Osman who liked to wet his lips and bat his eyelashes.
One of the Osmonds?
No, Tim Osman was
Osman.
The CIA.
That was his name, yeah.
When he was out.
Did not know that.
Yeah,
according to the Globe, yeah.
He actually met with the CIA in a hotel in Sherman Oaks, just west of the 405.
Okay,
yeah, it's true.
Then.
That's where he developed his interest in porn, is in the valley. Like most
that's
of
right.
us.
He was close to Chatsworth.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Hey, why am I here?
According to the Globe.
I'm like
Osama bin Laden was gay, but had no less than 5 wives and 20 children in a desperate bid to cover up his true sexual.
Ah, I see. That's
yeah. Sources tell the tabloid it was an open secret among top al-Qaeda officials that bin Laden had a sexual relationship with the most trusted courier. It was bin Laden's alleged lover's slip-up that eventually led to... Don't you hate that? It's not the kind of loose lips he was talking about. You know what I'm saying? That was not what he meant. The magazine claims the U.S. has known of bin Laden's sexual orientation for more than 20 years. He was introduced to me as Tim Osman, which was the name the CIA assigned to him, the source said. He had with short hair, clean shaven, dressed in khaki cargo pants and a polo sweater.
Oh, God. No. No.
Oh.
Here comes the Larry Craig part. After discussing some business in a booth at a restaurant, bin Laden allegedly tried to get down to some frisky business. His leg rubbed against mine, but I figured it was because he was so tall. When it happened a few times, I began to get the feeling he was hitting on me. Then he wet his lips and batted his eyelashes, and there was no doubt what he was after. The source says bin Laden then tried to get the aide to go to the Ripcord Club, Houston's infamous leather boy disco, but the American had no intention of going. That's the whole bin Laden.
That wasn't his leg. That was his dialysis machine.
Yeah, but then...
It bumps up against things.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That was my dialysis. I'm sorry.
Didn't mean anything by
like
it. Is it my dialysis machine, or am I just happy to see you?
Just
the Tim Osman part was true. I'm not sure the rest of it.
Yeah, the rest of it might have been
you
a little...
You can't believe the Globe? Is that wrong?
Oh, God. By the way, Admiral Mike Mullen, he's like, everybody shut their pie hole about the secret Navy SEAL operation. Cause he's
when you now extend that to concern with individuals in the military and their families, from my perspective, it is time to stop talking. And we have talked far too much about this. We need to move on. It's a story that if we don't stop talking, it will never end. And it needs to.
So this is going to be on a game show? I'm the guy who shot in London.
You don't know how to tell the truth. Yeah, because we were saying, David, there's a couple of these Republican morons that were like, I want to give a parade for them good old boys. It's like,
bring our families out and show them where they live.
Oh, God.
It's us. The president did go to Kentucky and did thank them privately.
Yes.
And thank them publicly without ever identifying anyone. But now they're, you know, all this information, all this celebration, and this isn't a good idea.
Yeah.
They're secret for a reason.
Yeah. Exactly. Hush now. 29 minutes after the hour, we return with Bender next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Only you can make tree poop boring.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. We were talking about Admiral Mullen talking about the Bin Laden operation.
I've seen no evidence since the Bin Laden raid that indicates that the top leadership knew Bin Laden was there.
Seems like we're trying to make peace with Pakistan over this, but yeah, I don't. How would you even notice that a giant foreclosure from Bakersfield was being built right under your nose?
Unless you live in Bakersfield,
exactly.
You know, Hillary's going over there, and
Bakersfield
en route.
Is she
going
to try to broker a truce with this Schwarzenegger mistress?
And can you imagine what that job is going to be like, having to try and figure this out and sort it out? That's Hillary's next assignment.
Yep, Robert Gates.
I've seen no evidence at all that the senior leadership knew. In fact, I've seen some evidence to the contrary. And we have no evidence yet with respect to anybody else. My supposition is somebody knew.
I saw a headline the other day, is John Kerry going to be the next Secretary of State? Well, of course he's going to be the next.
No,
isn't
is.
That obvious?
He's almost functioning as that now.
I know.
He's
well,
chair
he's
of the Foreign Relations
there.
Committee, but he has been doing all of these deals behind the scenes, very low-key, but he is the guy in waiting.
And then the last minute, George Bush will get the
post
for some reason.
How did that happen?
He would have made a good president. Oh, that's right. He was elected. Okay. Speaking of Ohio, I just love this story. You know, once Kathy Durr turns on you, Jim, it's all over. Kathy Durr's.
I say to the Republican leadership, take off your lace panties, stop being noodle bats.
Golly! See ya.
Noodle.
Guess they're still noodle bats with their lace panties.
Durr. The boner quietly convened a meeting with 25 Tea Party leaders in his district. Did you see this? But they didn't seem to be too appreciative. Denise Robertson, she's no Kathy Durr, but she's a... She said that she even vowed to run a primary candidate against Boner. Said she's sick of seeing him cry in public, which probably made him cry again.
And it's also because he said, we are going to raise the debt ceiling probably more than once.
Yeah.
He admitted to it and said, this is going to, despite what we're saying now, is going
to
happen.
Going to the corner with Gingrich.
Yeah,
tell you. Absolutely.
She said, I'm sick of the tears. I want results, which I'm sure made him, you know,
cry.
The tavern. He went to the tavern.
I had to go to the tavern and have an extra Rob Roy. I said that.
Poor guy sweeping the floor of the tavern still.
And crying bourbon.
Oh, boy. Yeah, exactly. Crying little bourbon tears. All right.
I'll drink those.
All right. So this story out here in California, not that one. Not that Family Values story. The Prop 8 judge, this is the most ridiculous legal thing I've ever seen.
Oh, God, I saw that.
They're forced to have to defend this. I talked to the Reiners about this last time I saw them. They're involved in this whole Prop 8 fight out here. They're saying that he needs to recuse himself because he's gay. So now they need to answer. It's so ridiculous on a legal level.
He's off the bench already. They're saying that he should have recused himself.
Yes.
And that, in fact, the ruling was wrong because...
He was gay.
Not just because
he was
gay.
In a relationship.
Exactly.
Yes.
And he was doing it so he could marry his partner.
Yes.
That's why I ruled it. It was a conflict of interest.
Yeah, which it leads you down just a legal... A path that is just not even... So, National Review Online blogger Ed Whalen, he's one of these, right-wing...
Yeah.
and other supporters of California's ban on same-sex marriage seek to vacate Judge Vaughn Walker's ruling, striking down the ban on the grounds that Walker is gay. At the same time, Whalen continues to pretend that Walker's sexual orientation is not the issue. The real problem, as you said, Whalen says that Walker is in a long-term same-sex relationship and therefore may want to marry his partner. He makes this distinction because his legal ethicism, pretty much everyone agrees universally, it would be problematic to say a judge must be disqualified from the case simply because of his or her sexual orientation, because that leads to... Any judge would have to excuse himself from almost anything based on that reasoning.
This is just more mind-numbing stuff from brain-dead people. I mean, it's incredible how when one thing fails, they pull another thing out of some nether region. And
I love in the midst of the Schwarzenegger and the Gingrich stories in the news.
We're talking about
defending
marriage.
Yes.
Family values, defense of marriage.
So now in a brief filed by opponents of California's same-sex marriage, Bob Whalen has sunk to a new low, defending his position by saying that a gay judge assigned to a case on same-sex marriage must either disclose literally, intimate details about his or her personal life or silently reassign the case to another judge. The brief points out the absurdity that would result from the test Whalen advocates, with women of childbearing age being forced to disclose whether or not they have the ability to conceive before deciding on abortion cases and the like. I mean, yada, yada, yada.
Silently reassign it, which is what don't ask, don't rule.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, right. Hey! All right, David Benda. So apparently for Whalen, the story goes on, a gay judge selected to preside over a same-sex marriage case has a choice, either disclose intimate details, including whether he or she's in a relationship, how long the relationship's been going on, what the judge thinks of marriage, and maybe what her, his or her partner thinks of marriage, or silently slink away from the case. I mean, it's so legally ridiculous as to just be, all right, anyway, that's that story.
Oh. Here in the California.
Now, and so I'm wondering why Schwarzenegger didn't defend it.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe I'm not going to be the one to talk about the family values, things of this nature, because of my douchebaggery. Perhaps shouldn't talk about.
By the by, researchers commissioned by the nation's Roman Catholic bishops to analyze the pattern of clergy sex abuse has concluded that homosexuality, celibacy, and an all-male priesthood did not cause the scandal. Interesting study by John Jay College of Criminal Justice said the problem was largely a result of poor seminary training and insufficient emotional support for men ordained in the 40s and 50s who were not able to withstand the social upheaval they confronted as pastors in the 60s.
I think Ted Haggard had some seminary training, didn't he?
Yes, I believe.
Well, certainly not in seminary.
It was fabulous, whatever it was. Go ahead.
It's just amazing. Celibacy has nothing to do with it. Asking people to commit themselves to a life of celibacy is a perfectly rational thing to do.
I've done it, not by my own choice.
Well, there's that.
Just because I'm a loser that
It's one thing to do it voluntarily. It's another thing to have it
forced on you.
Yeah.
Exactly. Anyway. All right. This story I love. David Bender, senior campaign advisor to Howard Dean and everyone going all the way back to Rutherford Hayes.
Yeah.
Yes. This is smart. In fact, somebody sent me one of these. Obama campaign is selling birther T-shirts. It's the actual birth certificate that says now shut up.
T-shirts and coffee mugs.
Yes. President Obama's campaign team trying to capitalize on claims that he was not born in the U.S. His campaign's now selling T-shirts emblazoned with his face above the slogan Made in the USA. On the back is an image of his birth certificate.
It's pure genius.
Yeah. That's the one I have. The one with the actual birth certificate and it says now, shut the hell up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, I wanted that concession. I wanted it right outside the White House. I'd like to sell the laminated long form. And of course, mine has gotten a little dirty.
Robert in Palm Springs, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie. I've always wanted to be called the official Simpsons pajama wearers of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're a brave man to admit that. All right, Robert, go ahead.
And Arnold Palmer is a shot of lemonade in an iced tea.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm thinking, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is a shot of cream in an Irish whiskey and a shot of cream in a tequila.
Oh. All right, then.
I'll drink to that.
Wow. you got to get these things out of your system. That's what happens there.
And apparently he did.
The president is speaking, when did we say?
I'll never drink Bailey's again after that.
Hey.
About an hour
from now, yeah.
Yeah, on the Middle East, correct?
On the Middle East, yes. Exactly. There's some who say, and you know who they
some
are,
say.
Some say,
uh-huh.
that the release of the Osama bin Laden post-mortem tape yesterday was designed to preempt the president. That the new Al-Qaeda tape in which...
Oh, yes, his last...
last post-mortem words. Recorded his...
How did his beard look?
His beard looked dark.
Was it nicely dyed?
So it was nicely... Did a wonderful job. But here's the interesting thing. Someone actually said... This tape was recorded before he was killed.
Yes. Really? For those of you that are paying attention, really?
No bleep, Sherlock. Yeah.
So this tape
from the Department of No Sherlock.
The tape apparently endorses the freedom fighting, Middle East street fighters in Libya and Egypt.
They had to kill him because he was on the same page as the Obama administration, apparently.
Exactly. And the idea is that it's going to preempt what Obama's going to say because apparently Obama's going to say that today. So there he is upstaging him from beyond.
From the grave.
Noel.
Neener, 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 woo.
Noel in Los Angeles. Hi, Noel.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Mook. Hey, you guys, I have a question for all those people who
who think Judge Walker should recuse himself from this case because he's gay. Mm-hmm. I have a question for them. If Judge Walker was sitting on a case or sitting in front of a case that has to do with rapes, would he have to recuse himself because he was either white or black?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. This makes no sense. And the fact that they have to spend time and money, defending this, it's just ridiculous.
Of course it is. And it's all about manipulation. Mm-hmm. These people have no clue of what they're doing, what they're saying. They're just angry and hateful. That's it.
Yeah. You know what? Under these rules, no, I'm the only one that could ever be a judge because I've had no relationships of any kind. I'm like Nell. So I don't, yeah.
Oh, hey, in the wing.
Yeah. Exactly. So I have no bias. I have no bias of any kind because I have absolutely
no. Your rulings are always.
Hey in the wind.
What does she mean by that? Why does it always say "hey in the wind"? The
stenographer's going. In the wind.
The legal stenographer's like type. Oh boy, here we go
again. I think Clarence Thomas should recuse himself always because he's useless.
Yes, because he can't even get a chickpea in a wind out. Yeah. Chickpea in a wind. No, just whatever Scalia says. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When we come back, as the tribute to Jim Ward continues, Jim, I apologize. It's no Oprah farewell, but it's the best we can do for your on our budget for our birthday tribute. We have no Aretha Franklin, no nothing, but
no Seinfeld, nothing.
No, I got nothing except Jim's greatest hit sent to us by Tim in Dallas, and someone. Well, you know, in the news, David, when someone strikes someone with a garden gnome, when that is actually a weapon in a crime.
We have Jim Ward.
There must be testimony by the gnome, and we'll have that continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
I don't know why I don't get the respect I'm entitled to.
You command respect.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to?
I don't think this would honestly
say. Why can't you treat
the housekeeper?
Me like I would be treated by any stranger on the street?
Actually, I don't get treated that well by strangers on the street either. Not as badly as I'm treated by people that know me because they, you know, hate me more because they have to actually spend time with me.
You're in your house. You don't go on the street.
Why do you say this, Stephanie?
Oh, anyway, no, I was just saying, I just get no support here whatsoever, do I? I was saying during the break, do I suck this morning? What's happening? I feel low energy. And then Chris just yells, we're back! Stop sucking! Bastard person.
I am not one of your fans! And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people. Mm-hmm. Because you're bastard people.
All right. Good news is Jim Ward's here!
Yay.
Then it's his birthday! Tim in Dallas has sent us a low budget Jim Ward tribute. That these are some of his greatest hits. And who knows where this was, Jim, but someone used a garden gnome as a weapon in a crime.
Yes, I remember vaguely.
Yes, which led to the garden gnome having to testify.
I call the Travelocity gnome to the stand.
I'm already here.
Oh, there you are. Didn't see it on there. Now, Mr. Gnome.
You can call me Larry.
All right, Larry. Would you please recount your horrible ordeal?
Well, as you know, I've experienced some awful things during my travels. I've been electrocuted. I was used as a fruit juicer. I've been frozen into a wall a la Han Solo. I've been set on fire by a Hawaiian volcano. I've gone screaming off a Mexican cliff and down the world's highest waterfall in an inner tube. But this... to be used as a projectile by some drunken lout against a child? And I thought that dreadful Australian bar prank, the dwarf toss, was an abomination. But this is beyond the pale. I summon the diminutive powers of the Lawn Gnome Liberation Front, or Front de la Libération des Nains de Jardin, as my Gallic brethren are called. Liberté, égalité, fraternité. We demand that garden gnomes no longer be ridiculed and released into their natural habitat. Après moi, le petit déluge. Aux armes, citoyen minuscule.
Your Honor, I move his testimony be stricken from the record.
Attica! Attica! Attica!
Bailiff!
Ah! I'm being repressed. Witness the violence inherent in the system. Am I going to die?
It's too big of a body fall.
All the bits so far this morning have ended in death or something. Someone.
And half of that one was in French, so I...
No yelling
in case you've just tuned in, Sarah Palin...
I'm on a petit déjeuner.
Sarah Palin got eaten by a Yogi Bear last hour.
Yes.
In case you've just tuned in. All right. And, coming up, we have a Larry Craig bit. Who didn't love those? And... Oh, Sheep Sex, the all-time classic. That's the Freebird of the Jim Ward catalog. And I don't remember what that was based on either, but I'll find the story.
There was a Dutch farmer who was something accused of having sex with a sheep or something.
Google it. Sure. Yes, it was some sort of, it was clearly one of those farm stories.
The sheep was cold.
Yes, exactly. All right, so Tom Colburn, he's taking his Gang of Six ball and going home.
Mm-hmm. Medicare will not exist the way it is 5 years from now. It's an impossibility. We can't borrow enough money for it. Social Security won't exist the way it is 10 years from now. Medicaid absolutely cannot exist.
Yeah, so his solution is to quit.
Well, his solution is to change the subject because he's under an ethics investigation.
Oh, that's right. Well, you know, he's a deacon. That's why he was advising.
He was advising Rick Santorum,
Ensign.
John Ensign. Yeah. Along with Rick Santorum, all these people were part of the C Street group and advising him on. Coburn was helping to negotiate possibly a settlement to keep the whole thing quiet. In the middle of all of this, in the middle of this ethics investigation, it's possible Tom Colburn is cooperating under immunity. That's the question right now.
Yeah.
He is, of course, trying to change the
that
subject.
That could be. Maybe that's why he dropped out. I need to spend some more time thinking about my next excuse.
Well, that's why he needs to make other Republicans very happy with him right now, which is why he's beating up on the other gang of five.
Yes. It's now five.
It's now five.
Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner is openly talking about the prospect of a federal government default, saying Republicans will be at fault if it happens. He was referring to Republican demands for deep budget cuts in exchange for the increase in the debt ceiling, which we were talking to a congressman yesterday. They have never been tied together, and they shouldn't be. But, of course, as usual, the Republicans taking a hostage. He said if Republicans try to impose a plan on this country as a condition for raising the debt limit, then they'll own the responsibility for the first default in our history with devastating damage to the nation. The Boner, of course, tweeted right away and said there will be no debt limit increase without budget reforms and significant spending cuts, which are greater than any increase in the debt limit.
But that's not what he said to the Tea Party people privately.
I know.
He said, we are going to have to do this not once, but more than once over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And they didn't like it. They didn't like those tears.
No. You know, you were talking about this earlier, but Chuck Schumer says, you're damn right we're going to use Gingrich's criticism of Ryan against the GOP. Newt Gingrich has declared that Democrats must not use... is now back to walked back criticism of Paul Ryan's Medicare plan against the GOP. But guess what? Democrats are not going to listen to him. So there, and also Wiener. He vowed Dems would aggressively highlight Gingrich's attack on the Ryan proposal and the subsequent backlash it provoked from Republicans. He said, Newt and I are considered political opposites, but I couldn't agree more on what he said Sunday about the plan to end Medicare. He acknowledged that it's right-wing social engineering. It was refreshing to hear such candor from a top Republican. Gingrich was saying what everyone knows to be true. The plan's extreme. He is the Republican canary in the coal mine. Which is what's kind of him, because he's actually a much, much bigger bird.
And Schumer went on to say, and they shoot the canary. They're very, very unhappy with their bird, because, you know, he's singing, and they don't like it. And that is, you just see feathers now when you see Newt Gingrich walking down the street. You don't see glitter, you see feathers.
Yeah, exactly. You see someone coughing out feathers. Canary was dry.
He's an ex-parrot.
This is an ex-parrot!
He said when that canary speaks the truth, he is snuffed out. What Newt seems to realize is that it would be impossible to win the White House if they embrace the Ryan plan. If Republicans make endorsing the Ryan plan the standard in the Republican primary, it will make the nominee unelectable. So they're in a bit of a sticky wicket.
They
and their little canary.
Newt was running because he already in his head is the nominee. This is Newt's delusional worldview. He's thinking, I know I've got to get through Iowa. That's just something I have to do. But my big fight is going to be against Barack Obama. So he's trying to cover himself. We had a caller earlier from Florida saying there's no way Jeb Bush can carry Florida because he's endorsed the Medicare plan. He hasn't.
The reason that it's possible for someone to get in later on is because they're going to duck through all this primary.
Well, we were saying, you know, it's bad for Newt when, you know, 1 or 2 days in, he's already like, frankly, could we focus on my personal failings?
Because those are easier to defend.
Frankly,
I can talk about the Tiffany bill. I can't.
Can we frankly talk about me being a bigger douchebag than Schwarzenegger?
Please give me something I can talk about.
Help me out here. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, sheep sex next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. What a day! We, of course, have returned with Bender. My house husband is here.
Honey, I'm home. I'm home.
See, we're not working on a little thing.
And the boys.
So we live together sometimes.
The boys missed me.
Max and Fred were so happy to see Daddy.
They were wagging their tails. And
more importantly, you say it's your birthday, Jim Ward. Well, happy birthday. Not exactly an Oprah tribute, but we have some of Jim Ward's greatest hits.
What do you mean? We got the Beatles back together for Jim Ward.
Yes, well, let's
I mean, that's
half of them are dead, so that's
and we still got them back together. It was pretty damned impressive.
I share a birthday with Pete Townsend.
Do you really?
That one I'm proud of.
He can't
Speaking
hear you.
Speaking of parties, everybody.
Splendid. Not so much. This calls for a sexy party.
Yes, what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the sexy liberal party. Coming to you to a town near you. Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, Carborough, Arrow coming up next Saturday, June 4th. Get your tickets. Hurry. Minneapolis, Saturday, June 18th. Chicago, June 25th. Boston, Saturday, July 16th. And we have lots more announcements coming up very shortly.
You know that when you're in Minneapolis, you're going to be there for when Netroots Nation
I
is
know
there.
It.
That is huge.
We have eerie
you
timing.
You are going to be the
huge.
Big event at Netroots
huge.
Nation.
Every event's going to be
huge. Oh, is Trump
Chicago is
Trump over?
It's Gay
He's
Pride
over.
Weekend so and Taste of Chicago
it's Gay
weekend.
Pride weekend.
And
yeah.
It's going to be the night.
Tonight, Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sexy liberal fever.
That's what I'm talking about. By the way, Joe in Chicago, Jim, we're going to settle this once and for all. Steph, as a lifelong Chicagoan who was born and lived on the far southeast side of the city most of my 44 years, I wish to settle this matter. Yes, there is a neighborhood in Chicago referred to as the east side. Because we've had this
but
argument
we've
ever
had
since we played.
People from Chicago on both sides of the issue.
No.
Yes, we have.
No,
yes,
I don't think
we
so.
Have. You just ignore them.
It's never called the east side of Chicago, only the east side. I grew up just south of there. A link below comes from the Encyclopedia of Chicago and is the article about this area of the city. Don't rely on a mook who lived there only 1 year. Probably the north side. Don't rely on north siders. They think the city ends at Congress Parkway or Roosevelt Road.
Wait a minute. It's Chicago. Of course there are more votes coming in. There will always be more votes coming in. This will never be settled.
Oh,
dead
Lord.
People are voting. It's Chicago.
All right, kids. So sexyliberal.com is the website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check us out. Check us out. And we are going to have many announcements in the coming days. It's new cities. Okay. All right. What was the story, Jim? It was in the Netherlands. A man was convicted of having sex with a sheep.
Yes.
Because.
And the sheep had to testify.
Well, he was, I guess.
He got off.
He got off. Well,
so to speak. Well, he did that.
Yes.
Initially.
Then and then again.
In the legal sense.
Because it literally is the law unless you can prove that the sheep didn't want to have sex.
Right.
And the sheep couldn't testify, then apparently that's why he got off. But we found the sheep testimony yesterday.
No, it's true. I didn't testify. And it wasn't because they didn't try to make me. They were tenacious, those policemen, promising me the tenderest heather, telling me it's shearing time I'd be hand-clipped by award-winning stylists, even bringing in a handsome ram to sweet-talk me. But they don't know the power of true love. Yes, I said love. And I don't care. Who knows it? Sure, I've been around and had my share of clumsy farm boys and the occasional even clumsier rural cop. But him, oh, him, he treated me so nice. Not like a big woolly four-legged rolled-up gin sock at all. He called me pretty names, stroked my fleas, and was so gentle when he lifted my hindquarters to place my rear legs inside his boots, along with his. Those others would face me towards the end of the cliff, so I'd struggle backwards. I guess they needed that because they had no technique at all. He took me to an intimate corner of the barn and sang to me and talked sweet to me. And by the time he came to visit, I was happy to be his hostess. Maybe he pulled the wool over my eyes, but if this is being blind, then I don't want to see.
Oh, God, Jim. Just how very wrong those were. All right.
There's one even wronger coming up.
Yes. Even, we're going in order of wrong. So you won't want to miss a minute of this hour.
If this is being blind, I don't want to see.
Kat in Madison was some breaking Scott Winker news. Hello, Kat.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, honey. Go ahead.
Jim, I do have a website that maybe he'll get a chuckle out of. Well, they passed the voter ID bill, which is a Jim floor for everybody here. They're trying to eliminate in Madison, Wisconsin, the governor, our recall efforts, and eliminate all local democracy. Good old Walker went to Washington last week to meet with the ALEC organization, which is funded by the Koch brothers. Yeah. On a less depressing note, you go to COCHblocked.com, you'll get a chuckle out of that.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kat, this is what I was just going to get to this story later. It just kills me because they clearly can't win on the issues. If you look at each and every issue, whether it's the Medicare plan or the whole Paul Ryan plan, giving more tax cuts to the rich, I mean, this is not what the American people want. And so you're right. It's like they have to win by cheating in some way, by making sure people don't vote.
Yeah, they don't care what the American people want. They really don't.
Yeah, this is what you, being a noted political strategist, Donna Brazile said.
But they're not going to win.
Donna Brazile said the Republicans' 2012 game is to keep voters home.
Yeah.
It's a cynical effort to restrict voting by traditionally Democratic-leading Americans in more than 30 states. Republican legislators are on the move from a sweeping rewrite of Florida's election laws to new rules for photo ID in Ohio, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and more than 20 other states. As a result, 11% of Americans, 21 million citizens of voting age, who lack proper photo ID could be turned away on election day. These people tend, of course, to be concentrated among people of color, the poor, the young, the old.
They'll try it, but here's the news. They're also turning out a lot of people who are registered to vote, who are going to be able to vote, and they're getting them very angry. Every single special election that has happened in the last three or 4 months,
Democrats
have won. They're winning in Republican districts.
I've said, I think, you know, we were joking, but the Sexy Liberal Show, I mean, I think part of that is not me. It's like a movement. I think there is a real reaction to this Republican overreach. And it's Jim, did you hear the gossip? Sexy Liberal Show gossip? Yet more conspiracy. I can't say what city.
You can't.
But, you know, there's been really like a lot of, you know, literally them trying to bribe the tour director to stop booking it. They're hacking our Facebook and Twitter page.
It's blowback. It's real blowback.
Yeah. You know, the hacking sites. Anyway, but so there's a theater. You know, we're just starting to get that sense that, you know, the show... Most people, they don't care if it's selling tickets. Theaters want it, and it's selling record tickets. We're breaking back box office records anywhere. There's a specific city that's had huge demand, a specific theater, and we keep getting the runaround. A woman finally calls our booker yesterday in tears. Says the whole board is having this huge fight because half of them are offering twice the profits to not book this show in here.
Wow.
Because of politics, and the other half are, we don't want this show. And, you know, you normally can just rent a theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's America. And literally, they're trying to keep us out of certain theaters. It's just crazy.
The good news is people will not be stopped.
Yeah.
They're breaking down the barriers. And it is. It's a chance to go out and have fun and make a statement at the same time. And that's a twofer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and plus, Hal and John have worked a lot of the comedy clubs, and they said there is a real, if you've been in a lot of them, there's a lot of sort of racist, homophobic jokes, and this is sort of turning the paradigm on its head and making fun of the racists and homophobes and making it just as funny or funnier.
And they're not liking it.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't
get it.
It's the Redneck Comedy Tour for smart people with good taste in music, as John Feeblesang says.
That's a long subtitle.
Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, buddy.
Hey, Mama. Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you.
Hey, even little...
So let me just take credit for Jim Ward. Why, thank you. Yes, I gave birth to him, personally and professionally. Yes.
Immaculate conception.
The thing that's not
covered in this Schwarzenegger thing
uh-huh.
is the whole run-up to the special election that put that clown into power.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Enron scandal, yep.
Dick Cheney, the secret meetings, the manipulation of the power, the screwing over the people of California so they, you know, buy all this expensive electricity and then run up a debt. I mean, no one, as far as I know, was held accountable for this stuff, and it's criminal.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, when you go back, I mean, Jim said this all the time. When you go back, you know, it wasn't Gray Davis's fault in the first place. That's
no.
how. And look what.
No, they saddled him with Enron.
I mean,
he was the one trying to.
And beyond what Schwarzenegger's done to his family, he's done the same thing to the state. I mean, he's left us in wreckage, you know.
Worst deficit in history.
What's that?
Worst deficit in history.
Oh, yeah.
And he was running on economics. He was running on saying...
You have to terminate the deficit in things of this nature. It's hard to leave the Gray Davis.
The car tax. I'll smash a car.
I would like to know if he was at Cheney's secret meeting.
The secret energy meeting.
The Supreme Court says you can't know that. You're not allowed to know.
Yeah.
We're not... Neener. You will never see those names.
Wow.
Oh, boy. Okay. You know, when future husband Stack meets drunk Stack, it's just always a good time. Drunken Philly ice cream truck driver used a freezer to store his own urine.
Oh.
He's ice cream man.
I'm the ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by.
When police...
passing is spelled differently in this case.
When suburban Philadelphia police pulled a ice cream truck driver on the highway suspecting he was drunk, they couldn't have imagined it would result in such a bizarre crime report. They found several boxes of wine in the truck.
Yay!
Wow.
It's my man.
Future husband.
And three full bottles, water bottles of urine, one of which was in his ice cream freezer. Oh, did I say that was a lemonade pop, honey?
Yeah.
Give that back! Give that back!
Dude!
Bastard.
Don't eat yellow ice cream.
All right, well, this proves my point about the Cialis commercials that I was telling you, Jim. The most unrealistic thing is men offering to do chores. Hello. I haven't been with a guy in a long time, and I know that's bull. There's a new study. Men relax best when wives are busy. Household chores often get in the way when a dual-earner couples want to unwind after a stress-filled day on the job. Now there's a new study that shows that while wives' stress levels drop when their husbands are helping them with their chores, for men it's the opposite. Stress levels fall when their wives are busy while they're relaxing. We need a study from what we all knew, that you're lazy bastards.
Who paid for that study?
Yeah, I wonder.
And can I get that job? That's a really, really good job.
Men are starting to bring laundry baskets to the sexy liberal shows because I said, if you hold the laundry basket while I fold laundry, I'll you.
And the point is,
I can see that part of the Cialis commercial I get.
I have actually held your laundry basket.
Yeah. Well, you've done dishes while I've been gone. I'm like, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? And when you do it, I actually cried last time.
You cried. You did. There were bourbon tears.
And then I tried to have sex with you, and you didn't want that. But
I
tried. I was so grateful.
I call it the dream deferred. It's sort of Langston Hughes.
Like, oh, that's so sweet. Please get away from me.
So do the laundry baskets pay for a ticket?
Right.
Sexy little show.
19 minutes after the hour, we'll be back with more Jim Ward frivolity on the Jim Ward Birthday Show on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller. So glad that I'm young, let's ride again. Because the last time I learned to live the home of sin. I'm so glad that I know more than I knew then. Gonna keep on trying till I reach the highest ground.
Wow, 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 wow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Jim, it's for you. It's Tanya calling from Germany. Why,
Deutschland.
My goodness. Good morning.
Hello.
Tanya.
Hi, Steph. Hi, David. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Alles Gute zum Geburtstag, Jim.
Danke.
Bitte schön. Das lasse ich mir nicht entgehen.
So, wo eigentlich bist du in Deutschland?
Ich komme aus Koblenz.
Koblenz.
I'm from Koblenz.
Ah, so, yeah.
It's the second second biggest wine area in the
right.
world.
Oh,
right.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I used to drink Liebfraumilch.
I used to.
So I don't know why.
I lived in Freiburg in Breisgau for a while, too. It was a big wine region as well.
Oh.
So the thing I relate to is wine. Uh-huh.
Die Schwätze Alemannisch da drüber, gell? Es ist ein bisschen anders, was sie da schwätze.
That's awesome.
Genau, aber ich komme aus Dresden, ich verstehe das nicht.
Wow.
For the love of God. All right, you two, get a room.
There are people banging the side of their radios right now.
What's going on? Get a room. All right, Tanya, thank you.
Thank you, Tanya. Wiedersehen. Wiederhören. Tschüss.
All right, you show-offs.
Now I'm speaking, was ist los?
Huh?
No, I'm speaking in Alemannisch dialect, which is in the southwestern part of Germany. So.
It's a southern accent.
Yes, exactly. And it's more conservative than the north.
I sang Silent Night in German when I was in fourth grade.
Did you?
Mm, do you remember the words?
Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht.
Except it sounds more like Hebrew when you do it.
I know. Speaking of which, Sue in Rockville, on the Otevito Tach, Gamanimotik.
I speak no Hebrew, no German. Just
all right, whatever.
Well, Yiddish is German,
exactly. I understand. Again, a very happy birthday.
Thank
what
you.
I don't understand is it's your birthday, but we're getting all the gifts. These bits are fabulous trips. I'm laughing.
We're in the time machine. We're in the Jim Ward time machine.
But the other thing I just want to mention is, you know, with this whole mess with Schwarzenegger, there is a happy end result of it also, which is Daryl Issa.
Uh-huh.
Here's a guy who bankrolled, right, what is it, $1.2 million or $2 million to bankroll the Gray Davis recall. He thought he was going to be the governor.
Yeah.
And then when Amish
And then cried.
In,
and then cried
he
when...
He cried like Boner. He cried like Boner, you know. Oh, no, I can't be governor. How do you think he feels with these revelations? You see, there's a good thing here. I can say one thing happy, right?
Yes.
Happy clappy liberals and happy birthday. We love you, Jim.
Thank you.
Aw. Aw. Don in California. California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Don.
How are you?
Good. Hey, go ahead.
I had a comment about the footage the other day of when Newt got glittered at the book signing.
Yes.
Something occurred to me, and I wonder if it occurred to you. After the guy got hustled out, and Newt continued to sign the books, they left the glitter on the table. It seemed like they should have stopped the book signing, cleaned it up, and gotten the incident behind them as quickly as possible. It's like when you get a pie in the face before you make a speech, you clean the pie off your face. You know?
Well, I think people realize Newt is toast, so they just,
whatever. Just, we'll do the cleanup later. The campaign's almost over. Hit the lights on your way out.
That would have required Newt actually doing work.
Yeah. Bill in Detroit, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph.
Hello, Bill.
Happy birthday to Jim Ward.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I request, could you please have him channel some classic celebrity stack with Tom, Mr. Negativity Cruz.
Oh, Tom was at the Oprah thing.
Oh, really?
Yes, he
was he on the
couch? I don't wonder if they brought the couch. Goodbye, Oprah. Goodbye.
It's been a great run, Oprah. Fantastic.
All right. You know how much we love the movie Airplane? So this just reminded me that this guy, this pilot had to look like Robert Hayes in Airplane with the sweat. The Air Force One had to pull out of a landing and then do it for a second time. When you got the president on board?
You go around, yeah.
Yeah, that's sweaty time. Mm. Air Force One had to pull out of an attempted landing at Hartford Airport, pulling out because of poor visibility and making a second try.
Mm-hmm.
And I just liked him just sweating like Robert Hayes.
He has a drinking problem.
Got the president on board. Everything's fine.
I have a drinking problem. And stewardess, of course, I speak jive.
Yeah, and I'm not...
I speak jive.
Oh, good.
Mm. Unfortunately, autopilot was able to take over.
I was saying, because I'm not used
Haggerty
to leaving my house, so I have, like, my carry-on is too big. And Hal was saying I hit every person on the aisle on the way down, just like that with the guitar.
The guitar, yeah.
Yeah, do we have the...
none.
That nun that took the guitar out of the overhead.
Fine.
Yeah. That's me. That's me on the Sexy Liberal
Tour.
Do
not travel with this woman. She is dangerous.
Hal is business pro. He just is.
He is.
Yeah.
I know.
No,
he can
you
do it.
You deserve it, business pro. You do. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, you are one tough cookie.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, you're lucky to tuned in on Jim Ward's birthday extravaganza day.
It's presents for everybody.
Here, did you see this? Jim, I apologize again that this is no Oprah Winfrey goodbye, but it's the best I could do. What was this? There was 13,000 gathered at Chicago's United Center for her surprise, Oprah, a farewell spectacular. I don't think it was a surprise. I think it's kind of hard to cover that up. Every celebrity in the world was there. Aretha Franklin sang Amazing Grace. Tom Hanks hosted. Michael Jordan talked about how Winfrey inspired him. Tom Cruise was there. Jerry Seinfeld did comedy. Madonna was there. I mean, seriously, every celebrity in the entire universe.
Who are these people?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if something had happened, if the roof had fallen in?
And something.
Like
that, that would be it
like
for the entertainment
Zadora
business.
Like the old Zadora joke, remember?
Yeah.
Everyone goes as nobody left in Hollywood.
Yes, that would be it. The whole thing would be, wap, wap.
More work for me.
Yeah, it had, wow, subtlety was its strong suit. That you were saying, what do you do for your funeral now? This is
it.
Like having a funeral while you're alive. It was,
well, yeah. You know, that's the way to have a funeral, actually, while you're alive. Enjoy it, Oprah, and on to the new life.
I would like one before I'm crushed by a giant whale penis. In my much hoped for funny death.
In Iceland.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Icelandic Penis Museum, right, has the giant whale penis. There maybe I wouldn't have to even go to the ocean to look for one.
No. You'll be standing there staring at it in the Icelandic
case. On your head.
It will say, you see, you haven't seen mine yet.
That's right. All right. What a segue. Speaking of, so Senator Larry Craig, this is one of our personal favorite Jim Ward bits. The ACLU, Jim, what was the deal? They argued, I think, for him, saying people having sex in a bathroom have a certain right to privacy. They have an expectation of privacy. I guess.
I don't remember. It's so long
ago. All right. I don't either, but Larry Craig does.
First, let me reiterate, I am not gay. I have never been gay. Which is why I was shocked that the ACLU decided to take my case. I had always assumed that the ACLU was a commie front organization protecting the rights of perverts and fruitcakes to perform their dastardly, naughty, bad, nasty, dirty, nasty, naughty deeds. But now I find they are merely protecting people's privacy. People who have public sex have an expectation of privacy in their public places while they're having very public, nasty, naughty, hot public sex. Not that I would do those things, because, as I've said, I'm not gay!
No.
But if I had been interested in having hot, gay sex in a public restroom, bent over the baby-changing station with my pants around my ankles, bellowing, yes, give it to me, my hot, urgent stallion, eagerly anticipating the hot flush of delicious shame when the doors swing open, revealing my nasty, naughty, shameful perfidy to the world as families pass by, young children asking their horrified parents, Mommy, Daddy, what is that dirty, naughty, nasty man doing? Their looks of disgust and loathing burning into my soul, filling me with a cascade of conflicting emotions of shame, self-loathing, and hot, dirty, naughty, nasty lust, spurring me on to sweet, violent release again and again and again. As I say, the ACLU has determined that were I to engage in such natty, dirty, nasty, filthy public behavior, I would have had an expectation of privacy. Not that I would, of course, because I'm not gay. I love my wife in a really straight, not gay way. Gotta go. Not gay. Bye.
Oh, boy.
It's only a slight exaggeration.
Once again, it's taken me years, David, to get the visual of the koala changing table out of my head, and now
it's
back.
Well, it just entered my head for the first time. And Chip, you've got a real future, my friend, a real future in gay porn. You could write this stuff. You could churn this out. And I mean, how did you channel Larry Craig's voice? I've heard Larry Craig speak. Remember, he used those words about Bill Clinton, those exact
right.
words.
Yes. Yes.
And you got it down.
Let me be clear.
Yes,
I am not gay.
No.
I never have been gay.
You know, Matt, as it often happens when you're sitting in the stall, you get a piece of paper on your shoe, and you have to turn around to try to get it, and you accidentally fall into some other man's lap.
No, that has never happened to me, or anyone I know. Oh, come on, Matt,
surely.
Once or twice.
There are walls.
But you're right, Crystal, even then you're like, sounds like he wants to give Bill Clinton a spanking. It's just weird. It's like he went from condemnation into gay porn.
He did. Seamlessly.
Nasty. Dirty,
naughty. Bad
dirty,
boys. Bad
naughty,
boys.
Bad boy. Nasty. Bad. I love my wife.
All right. I know you do.
Okay.
Where
the Where Are They Now file. Yeah. Where is Larry Craig?
Yes. Oh, boy.
Can we get him on the show? What do you think?
Let's see what he's doing.
Right, oh, he's in the men's room now, actually.
By the by, speaking of bad boys, the Schwarzenegger story, obviously the biggest story out here in California, as he would say. But I would have, I know the Oprah extravaganza was big. I would have given anything to be a fly on the wall. Oprah took Maria Shriver out for dinner in Chicago. Oh!
Where'd they go?
They went to, funny you should ask, because the RL restaurant. She went out. It was the night before the news broke about her husband. She dined with Oprah and Stedman and Gail King. I know Gail King. I'm calling her and finding out what happened.
Gonna get her drunk.
Yes. Talk. Let's go out for drinks. I want to find out what's going on.
I'm gonna wine board her to get her to talk.
Jodie Foster's Beaver is opening.
I beg your pardon. What? Really? That is news.
No, it's not. Mel Gibson, the movie, The Beaver. The hand puppet at the Cannes Film Fester. Jodie Foster continued to supply the words for her pal. She spoke for Gibson, an absent Gibson, at a news conference. I guess they just prefer he perhaps doesn't speak.
Especially if there's alcohol around.
No. he did turn up on the red carpet for the Beaver premiere. Which is not the first time for that, I guess. And though Foster had predicted he wouldn't be speaking.
You know the premise of this movie, right?
It's like her in contact. Shh, he's on. I can't hear anything. You know
how this movie works?
He has a beaver hand puppet.
He speaks through the hand puppet.
Yeah, because he's a darkly disturbed man. And actually, so that was really a stretch for him.
The beaver hand puppet did show up at the red carpet.
Yes.
The puppet was speaking. Mel was not there. The puppet was talking a mile a minute, chattering away.
Shh, my beaver wants to say something. Combination of the movie Contact and
I heard that voice coming through. Yeah. And fava beans, the whole
beaver
thing.
Beaver screaming. Can you hear it screaming? That's my Jodie Foster. It's really the only
one
I do.
Well done, though.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, who wants to smell like Joe Jackson? Anybody?
Oh, no. Oh, no, not that.
Not sure.
Not that.
Which
Joe Jackson
are you talking about?
If you've ever looked at Joe Jackson, he's from TMZ, and thought, how the hell can I smell like that guy?
With a fragrance.
No more. Yes. Michael Jackson's dad has unveiled a brand new line of body scents.
He does, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A Jackson scent line for both men and women. Debuted in Cannes this week. The cologne is described as heavily musky. And the perfume is a floral harmony combined with a fruity note.
He is an awful man. An awful, awful man. And I think the smell is probably formaldehyde.
Yes.
He does not look like he smells good. I'm sorry.
No, I don't think so.
Is she really going out with
him? Oh, it's the other Joe.
No, the other.
I love that Joe. All right.
All right. Boy, oh boy, the Republicans they're not facing happy crowds at their town halls. They're just not. facing angry and booing constituents, Republican Representative Herrera Butler. I don't know who this is.
Butler.
Representative Jamie Herrera Butler, Republican of Washington, came face-to-face with this growing movement at a town hall in Vancouver, Washington. Dozens of protesters encamped outside the meeting waving signs like Save Wet Medicare, Tax the Rich. Uh-oh, bad news for Republicans. People are starting to pay attention to the issues. When she tried to defend her vote on the Republican budget that would effectively privatize Medicare, a chorus of boos and catcalls and shouts of liar erupted in the auditorium. The congresswoman was repeatedly called out by what the local press called a rough crowd. Again, at one point, perhaps understanding her constituents were already upset with her enough, she did endorse a position that put her on the opposite side of most of her House Republican colleagues. She told them that she favored ending subsidies for oil companies. Wow. She, of course, had just voted, along with the rest of the House Republican caucus to protect the subsidies. Yeah. So they're starting to snap under the town hall pressure and flip-flop.
This is not made-up town halls. These are not funded
this
by the Koch brothers. These are real people.
This is not an army
people.
Of Dick. This is not, this is not Dick's army. Dick Army's AstroTurf groups.
I knew which Dick.
Yes.
I knew that Dick, and that's no army.
No. Senator Kent Conrad on the debt ceiling negotiations.
We've had a very constructive meeting today. We intend to meet again tomorrow, and we're going to keep working.
I think the Republicans are going to finally realize that there are more people who aren't billionaires than people who are in this country.
You finally do the math, and they're like, oh,
wait a minute.
Oh.
Not before the check clears, though.
Right.
That's what they're waiting for.
Representative or Senator Bob Corker, Republican.
We all know, look, he's the most important person in the room, let's face it.
Yes.
For us to do something great, he's got to be involved in that.
What? Involve the president? Is that some sort of new plan?
Well, that's called blame the president. You see, that's why he's the most important person in the room, because it will be on his head if we raise the debt ceiling. Don't blame us. He made us do it. That's going to be the excuse.
We are actually awaiting the president. He's going to be speaking in just a few minutes.
He's
we'll carry
here.
A little of that and then a filthy Jim Ward bit, which will likely get us thrown off the air. So I wouldn't miss the next segment because it might be our last.
Well, yeah, but for Jim Ward's birthday, that's a way to go.
For his birthday.
I did it the first time around, so cross your fingers.
Just let's tempt fate again. 45 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Oh, I am getting so hot, I will take my clothes off.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. Tomorrow is Friday. That means Friday's with John Fugelsang, Sexy Liberal, and also Marcia Clark has a new book out, our old buddy, old pal. Back from the days of Blanco Blanco. That's all I remember from the OJ trial.
Blanco Blanco?
Blanco Blanco.
Oh, the Bronco.
Blanco
right.
Blanco. That was that one woman. That's all she said. The testimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Slow chase.
Blanco,
on the
Blanco Blanco.
Blanco Blanco.
Bronco Blanco. That's what she's saying.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Right outside my house that happened.
You know. Wow. Carol in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carol.
Hi there, and happy birthday to Jim Ward. I'm so looking forward to being able to maybe see the Sexy Liberal Show in Seattle.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Maybe I do. I'm just hoping that that'll happen. But
yes, I think there might be an announcement about that very soon. Go ahead.
But meanwhile, I wonder if you're wonderful... awesome Jim Ward can do some Pat Robertson.
Oh, for his birthday.
For his birthday.
Some evil uncle chuckles. No.
I could do that, but I'd have to send it down in the lake of fire where you will stew in the infernal depth of contagion. Boiling giblets of, I can't.
Bouillabaisse of some. Okay, whatever.
Whatever.
All right.
It takes.
Jerome.
You have to, warm up to that.
Yeah, you got to work up to evil uncle chuckles. Jerome in San Diego writes, thanks to you, Steph, I bought P90X. I love it. Hate it. It's awesome. My wife and I are only 2 weeks into it, and we feel great. That is, it's a love-hate thing with P90X, because you hate it, and then you love it, because you look great. Thanks for plugging a great product. Tell Jim his Kim Jong-il kills me. I'm Asian. It does not offend me at all.
Oh, good.
So
yeah,
there.
That's good to know.
So
Margaret Cho did Kim Jong-il in Korea.
Yeah,
so
still your act.
I know, right?
Right? Totally right. All right. Well, we thought this was timely in the sense that Arnold Schwarzenegger, clearly in the news and things of this nature, his hometown is actually a town. You have to say it very carefully. It sounds like ing. Because it's
actually spelled the same way.
Right.
Yes, it was a town in Austria that people kept stealing the sign.
Yes, for some reason.
Doesn't it have K's in it instead
of
a C?
Yes, it is an actual town.
All K. No.
It has a C, too?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay, we can't even suggest what that is, but we know what it is.
Do we have, what is it, Schwarzenegger's testimony about this?
No.
I don't. Oh, it's the guy in the town where they keep stealing the,
Grüß Gott, and welcome to the best town in Austria. People love f***ing. The citizens love f***ing. The tourists really love f***ing. They love it so much they keep stealing the f***ing sign. I don't know why people want the f***ing sign so much. I'm sure they don't have that problem in Innsbruck or Salzburg. It's a big f***ing problem. I bet you mean it's a problem unique to f***ing. Frankly, I'm stumped. Why are people so drawn to f***ing? It can't be the architecture. Once you've seen one f***ing building, you've seen them all. It can't be the wildlife. It's all pretty ordinary. Over there is the, rooster. And over there is a kitty cat. I can't figure it out. Seriously, it's getting very f***ing expensive replacing those f***ing signs. We even had to put the change the name of f***ing to Bunsen. Unfortunately, there already is a Bunsen Austria. And oh, Geschlechtsverkehr is too f***ing long to put on a f***ing sign.
All right, all right. I think that's probably, yeah, that's good. Yeah, we got the idea. Thank you, Jim.
They started stealing the sign that said you are now leaving f***ing. Because everyone's f***ing to go on forever, but it's a very small town.
You know, he may be going back there soon, actually,
yes,
for a victory tour.
After the sad demise of the, yeah. Yeah, a reporter interviewed me yesterday for the Raleigh-Durham Chapel Hill-Carborough date coming up for the Sexy Liberal Show, and he said, what's it like? And I said, like the radio show without the FCC.
Which, if you pronounce it phonetically, sounds like one of the seven words.
Exactly.
Ironically enough.
Mm-hmm. It is ironic. Thank you. And I really
sounds
do
like an
think.
Austrian town.
Isn't it ironic?
Cha. All right, so...
Actually, the way it's pronounced, it's only a bad word in the north of England and maybe parts, yeah, of South Africa.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to do this story before we went, because we got an update this morning from someone in Wisconsin on union basher Scott Wanker.
Yeah.
And just how we were saying, this has just been unprecedented union bashing in our lifetime.
Yep, yep.
They're coming for the trade unionists. We all have to stand up.
And who will be left?
So there'll be someone left to stand up for us.
Arnold.
But
yeah,
yeah.
I'm standing up right now. Ha!
I thought it was interesting being here in L.A., and we love L.A., as you know. There was a great piece in the Times not too long ago about L.A. labor getting the job done. They say with laws protecting labor organizing so weak that employers violate them with impunity, it's hard to find a place, you know, at the height of the Wisconsin and other places that are pushing back where unions are on the offensive. There is, however, one exception. L.A. Yeah, thank you. Campaigns are aimed at providing L.A. with new jobs at decent wages. Largely, this means union jobs in construction, where unemployment in California still exceeds 30%. Many of the jobs will involve training, credentialing, and employing the inner-city unemployed. In recent weeks, two government agencies, the L.A. Harbor Commission and the Exposition Metro Line Construction Authority, adopted a construction careers policy. But the point is, they're just doing really innovative stuff, the unions here, and this isn't the way it worked. The unions are the enemy. We're all supposed to work together.
And these are real jobs, good jobs, where you rebuild the infrastructure. That's what you get to do if you're government.
Right. The construction careers policy is the brainchild of LA's labor movement, and they're really innovating and they're creating a lot of new jobs. Lobbying for good union jobs on products over which the government has some sway is nothing new in LA, but actually conceiving some of those projects and identifying the funding sources, companies, government, policies and political allies that can make them happen is new. The LA model is one that labor movements in other progressive cities and states should clearly emulate. In Wisconsin and most other places, labor is putting up one hell of a defensive fight. In LA, labor is not only on the offense, but beginning to play a new and crucial role. Someone's got to get LA back to work, and labor is saying it might as well be us. And I say, let's tear it for the union boys and girls.
Yeah. Jobs, and jobs.
Yeah, but good for them. Here's one bad thing about L.A., and that is the D-bag at the L.A. Times. He's what's his name? Andrew Malcolm. Jim, have you given up? I know you gave up in protest, didn't you, after they hired Jonah Goldberg?
Well, I still get the paper, but they've been piling up. I haven't been reading them much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if I fired Robert Scheer, I almost canceled my subscription to the L.A. Times. But,
well, Laura Bush's former flack, Andrew Malcolm, continues to embarrass the once mighty L.A. Times with his endless stream of Obama insults and robotic regurgitation of right-wing talking points. He still accuses Obama of stonewalling his birther critics.
What?
It's this stupid idea that it's the president's fault and not these...
Let me finish.
No, you are finished.
You're done. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
As this article points out, which I love, Obama didn't stonewall anyone. Obama released the same paperwork every other Hawaii citizen presents, which was the state of Hawaii has vouched for Obama's birth documentation for years. And B, the critics who were hounding Obama to release his long-form birth certificate don't qualify as skeptics. They qualify as complete nut jobs.
Well, you're assuming Hawaii is a real place, which has not been proven.
Even after their conspiracy theory collapsed, Malcolm pretends the clueless birthers were serious people raising serious questions. It's those people that are going, oh, well, good for Donald Trump. There, yes, he got sick. What? No!
You know what's great is that no one's going to any Trump places anymore. They're falling off, not just his shows, but no one's staying at Trump hotels anymore.
Wow.
How about that?
That's huge.
Huge.
I'm hugely incompetent.
Huge.
Huge failure as a businessman. All right, Jim Ward, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Time to start drinking. We'll see you tomorrow for Fridays with Fugelson. Thank you, David Bender.
Always a pleasure.
All right, see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.